6, and I'm looking at verse 1 to 5. And before I continue, you know, we talk a lot about Acts 2:42, New Testament DNA, looking at things through those lenses. And I feel it's really important because when we judge the rest of Scripture by devoted to one another, caring, sharing, all of these different aspects, we start looking at other passages of Scripture in a different way. We look at it from the perspective of us having a deeper concern, a deeper love, a deeper interaction with people. Now, Paul, he wrote this with this in mind and with that experience, always seen through the lens of a life shaped by radical Christianity. And so it's essential to interpret a book like Galatians, especially chapter 6, in the light of this. That because if you're doing that, you're really coming from a foundation, a perspective of devotion, sharing, and caring. Because this is quite a tricky one, you know, when you start getting into it. And last week, Dylan made an interesting comment. He used an illustration. He said he was meeting someone for coffee, or people for coffee, and I gave a laugh, and he said, "Yeah, you know who it was, hey?" I'd come through quite a difficult period. End of last year, I was robbed in my home of my money, gun, all sorts of stuff, and pepper sprayed by two people. And you always carry a bit of baggage, and that's a pretty heavy burden. And so, you know, I was walking with a bit of a limp, and you're trying to work out where you're at, where you're going. And I met with Dill, and I said, you know, how can I serve? I'm not sure where I fit in. You know, things have sort of changed a bit. And he asked me that question. He says it's not, he believed that I was asking the wrong question. Instead, he suggested, as he did in the preach, of moving the W of how into the front, and it becomes, who should I be serving? And that's where I come to from Galatians 6, 1 to 5, is that it's this idea of having each other's backs. Connects closely what we know in the military and the policing world. I mean, most of you know that I'm involved with law enforcement. And this whole idea of having the next guy's back, having a buddy system with the military, that you're always concerned about the guy who's next to you, who's behind you, who's on the left of you, that's just a given. And we understand the principle, and it resonates with most of us, but for many it's far off fictional. It's in the movies, you see the two police buddies working together, or the army guys when one rescues the other, and it's a sort of a bit of a hero syndrome. It's not everyday people stuff. And in most of the situations, it is a life or death situation. If you don't look after your buddy, either an enemy soldier or a criminal is going to take him out or take her out. And these physical battles, it's imperative, it's critical why you look after that person next to you. You don't think twice, it's instinct. But here's the thing, most of us, myself included, don't often translate that connection to the spiritual world. We don't recognize the severity of the spiritual battle Paul describes. And he describes it in Ephesians 6:12. Do we have that? Can you go to 6:12? I'll read from there. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." A few of us truly grasp what's going on in the heavenlies. Like many of us with the news, we don't really know what's going on in the world. People tell us things. And unfortunately, you need to see with your eyes of faith when it comes to the heavenlies and the spiritual realm. And some people have an insight. Some people, God gives visions about it, and they start seeing it. Some people have written books on what God has shown them. But because unlike a physical confrontation, spiritual warfare doesn't happen in front of our eyes every day. You can't see the crime taking place. You can't see the enemy action engagement, which we can on TV, because wars today are wars by television. You know, you see everything. But let me ask you, do you view those same extreme principles of having an officer's back or a soldier's back, that kind of loyalty and protection, as necessary within the church? These are extreme examples, extreme cases, but should we be doing that in the church? Do we need to go that far? I've got your back. I know Craig and I, we meet often. I know Craig's got my back. We both, have a bit of a common ground where we both share in post-traumatic stress disorder. We both, I mean, maybe it's not the right thing to have a commonality, but we connect because there's something common there, and we built bridges before that. So when I had my really extreme, I mean, I've been for 40 years involved in policing, real extreme times of stress, but when it comes to me, it's quite the norm. And Craig has experienced something, but I can empathize with him. I can start to agree, help him bear his burdens. But this is sobering thought, and honestly, I believe it's more important in the body of Christ than in the military or police. There, it's physical consequences. Right, you can die. I mean, that's the worst that can happen to you. But in the battles we fight in the kingdom have eternal consequences. And whether it be someone who does not know God yet and you're fighting for them, or it's someone who's really struggling, is on the fringes, and might be on the edge of backsliding and actually turning their back completely on God. Those are eternal ramifications. So are you prepared to put yourselves on the line with fellow believers? You know, Jesus said about greater love has no man than the one who lays down his life for his friend or his brother. So are you willing to put yourself now to help carry the burdens of fellow believers, especially those facing intense spiritual battles that may even show up in physical ways? So with that in mind, let's have a look at Galatians 6, 1-5, where it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, I just want to say I'm not doing expository preaching, going line by line and looking at what it's, I'm just picking some things out of it. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself or herself. But let each one test his or her own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load, or in some translations, burden. Now, to really understand this passage, we have to look at Paul's choice of words. I know preachers love to sprinkle sermons with Greek terms, you know, and sometimes they don't know much. Even in Josh Gen, I mean, I used to teach an introductory course to New Testament Greek in YWAM many years ago, and I've caught preachers out so many times because I have a theological library on my iPad and iPhone, and I just run a quick check on it, and I've caught people out because they've gone to someone's book and say, oh, that's a lekker word, let's just drop it into the sermon, make me look a little bit good. But in this case, Galatians 6, 1-5, it's essential to the text. The Greek words are going to make a big application to the understanding of the text. In Galatians 6, 2, Paul says we should bear one another's burdens. Then in verse 5, he says each one will have to bear their own burden or their own load. That's a bit of a contradiction at a glance. And many people, except Marco, because he did the School of Biblical Studies, so he knew it. And where's Thurston? Is Thurston? So yeah, Thurston spoke to me before the preacher when I was telling him about it, that he spoke on the same thing and someone else did. But it seems like a contradiction. I mean, are we meant to carry each other's burdens, or are we supposed to do it ourselves? The answer lies in two different Greek words Paul uses. I want to briefly unpack, but before we do that, we need to understand why these words are different and why Paul chose to look at these words. Now, I've got a visual illustration, and my assistant on this side is going to show you something. Now that burden or backpack might look not very heavy, but those of you who've hiked with a backpack that doesn't seem to be very heavy will know that as you go further and as you go further and as you go further, it just seems like, who's putting rocks in here? You know, I did a hike once from the bottom to the top of Giant's Castle in Drakensberg. Man, oh man, I mean, I took too much. I mean, I learned subsequently when you go walking. But she's got a backpack. It's a personal backpack. It's got her own stuff in it, her personal possessions. And the load is part of her journey. I wanted to use the Joneses as an illustration here as well, but if you look at all the pictures they post, none of them carry backpacks when they go walking. have a little moon bag or something, but they don't have a thanks. So it's a load that's a part of the journey. It's personal. We'll dig deeper. Now, before you sit down and get comfortable, Karen, what I would like you to do, if you could see that table and chair, if you could lift it and just put it at the back of the church. I mean, it's simple. It's a wooden table. Just make an effort. Make a bit of effort. Well, okay. Craig, Marco, Rodney, just go help her. One each side. It's not that heavy. Karen, how heavy is it? Not that heavy. She might drag or push it, and she could possibly get there. I mean, she's a biker chick. You don't take this lady on. I mean, she lifts a big... What size engine have you got? 400. And if that falls and you've got to pick it up, she's got muscles. But this kind of burden Paul refers to in verse 2 is the overwhelming kind that needs help from others. So you see there's two, the backpack, our personal and daily responsibilities, and then the table, which is a burden that's too heavy to carry alone. So based on that, let's look at those two Greek words that Paul uses in verse 2 and 5, and they'll give you some insight into what burdens are. It's not important that you remember the Greek words, but it's important that you grasp their meanings. The first one is the Greek word baros. It refers to a heavy, crushing burden. Now, Paul, we don't have the same descriptive language in English, but in Greek it's very descriptive. And Paul was a man who was very, very particular. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a learned man. So he's very careful when he chooses. There's no multiple choices like the Amplified Bible with Paul. You can't say, well, is it this, is it that? It's just 100% down the line. And sometimes we need to do a bit of a Greek study in order to find out. It's something that's overwhelming, too much for one person to carry alone. It's associated with emotional, spiritual, or physical distress that presses down with intensity. It's more than just a load. It's something that is oppressive. Now, Karen. If Karen had to pick that up and try to put it on her back, you'll understand what heavy, oppressive load actually means. Then the second word is fortion, which means a personal load. It's like a soldier's equipment, a backpack like Carrie had on, or ship's cargo. It may be heavy, but it's manageable. It's something that each person is expected to carry themselves. It's like a life assignment, a calling, or an obligation. So no one else can carry your load. I can't come in and fight on behalf of Craig for his salvation. He has to do that. I mean, think of them as your own spiritual growth, your daily obedience to what God is calling you to do, your character development, your service in church, serving, which is a big one, which Dill was preaching about. That's a personal load. You can't say, the tea table is not just right for me. It's for Vanessa, the coffee and sorting that out. I'm sort of more upfront, I'm not musically talented, but I can beat that box they have. You want that, that serving is a personal responsibility, and God's going to hold you accountable for your actions, your attitudes, and what he's called you to. Your choices and the consequences. If Marco or Renee make a choice, they've got to live with the consequences of that. I can't be responsible for theirs. And then, of course, the big one, where Paul talks about working out your salvation. I cannot work out your salvation for you. It's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship. Now, if we go back to Karen's illustration, it's clear which burden is which. She can carry her backpack. It's her responsibility, and it's expected of her. Now, if she's going on a walk with a very nice young man, he might decide to carry her backpack as well as. But that's, that's a separate... On that walk to Giant's Castle, there was a guy whose girlfriend came, and he was carrying her big bag on the front and his on the back. But that's love, real love. Although maybe we should have that. So when Paul commands that the Galatians to bear one another's burdens, he's referring to that heavy load. But when he says each one must carry his own load, he's making it clear about personal responsibility. No leader, no comm leader, elder, deacon, brother or sister in Christ can do that for you. So the essence in the passage that Paul commands us is basically to have everyone's backs. So that's why I want to focus more, why I have as well, on that bearing one another's burdens, what we are called to do. He wants us watching out in every situation we might find ourselves in while the raging spiritual battle, he reveals later in Ephesians 6, Galatians, Ephesians after. And he uses these military strategies, you know, the whole armor of God, you know, the different, he gives a number of different analogies. And it's important because it shows just what a battle we're in. Now, my situation, I'm a little bit, I suppose you could call it in policing the war on crime. I'm going to give you a little illustration of what we're talking about. You know, I was in a patrol one evening with my inspector and in one patrol vehicle, and my two buddies were in the other vehicle, and we received what we call a priority one call, which means you go full lights and sirens to the incident. And it was to a scene here in Lakeside. Information was limited, a suspicious vehicle, possibly stolen or using cloned plates. I don't know if you've ever got a speeding fine and it's, you get it, but you were never in that location or that city that cloned your number plate. And this is a common crime. So we responded immediately and we found the vehicle sitting there at the petrol station, and we pulled in two vehicles. I was in the first vehicle, so we jumped out. You do this whole tactical thing. You approach the vehicle, two guys sitting there, and we made the arrest. But what we didn't know was there had originally been four men in the car. We didn't know that. Two had just gone into the shop, and as we were focused on the vehicle, we made the arrest. Two came out approaching in our blind side. We had no idea they were there. But fortunately, we had our partners who are backed up, tactically watching, immediately called us and arrested the two other guys. They had our backs, and it sorted that situation. But this also happens in our spiritual battles in the unseen realms. We don't see the potential threats, outcomes, as they materialize, because why? Jules has been praying for me and doing spiritual warfare. He's really had me on his heart. And so the potentially dangerous outcomes of the spiritual battles are really apparent in how they could have ended very differently. Sometimes they do. But it's that intercession and carrying burdens on behalf of people. And then sometimes it does become apparent and you get in there, I'll explain to you different ways we can help. But if not for others bearing those burdens in the spiritual warfare, we could have a completely different outcome. So in a similar way, in this incident I'm talking about at the petrol station, the seriousness of the situation only became apparent later after the arrests. We ascertained that two of the men were wanted murderers on the run from the police and were prepared to fight their way out to prevent going to jail at whatever the cost. I continued to search the vehicle, and under the seat, it had stolen number plates, I found a high caliber 45 revolver with the bullets in, loaded and ready to fire. I don't even want to imagine the potential consequences if it was just the two of us doing, I mean, we trained well in tactically approaching vehicles and we did everything right, but we didn't know there was another factor involved and it could have ended very differently. I mean, it might seem a dramatic illustration, but it equates directly to you and me as believers in a spiritual war that can have life and death consequences because we don't know it. And the only thing that saved us was that we have a partner system where they stood back with the other vehicle and they watched the situation while we focused on the task at hand. And that's exactly what we should be doing as believers, focusing on those around us. Having each other's backs in law enforcement is not negotiable. And I don't think it should be negotiable within the church and the local body of believers. We need to be watching, caring, loving in such a way that when we face serious battles, they don't develop into things that you can't manage or we can't manage. And often we neglect our relationships until it gets to a point and all of a sudden, oh man, Marco's in such a situation. Sorry, I'm not picking you on, but you're just big shoulders. And they can suck resources in. If something was an intervention took place earlier when you've built bridges, and because Craig and I mean, we built bridges over a year. Now all of a sudden, miraculously, God does something, but he's now dealing with PTSD, and he's getting his counseling, it's going well, and we meet, but we built bridges. And as soon as something like that happened, immediately, we had coffee together the other day, and it's like we're totally on the same page. That's because we built bridges in the past. And I think that's where we need to make these relationships stronger. So what does it look like in bearing one another's burdens or having someone's back? What does it mean? Not lawful weapons drawn approaching a vehicle, but the spiritual battles of everyday doing life together. We must build real relationships, not surface-level connections, but bridges of trust and intimacy. I say this very carefully. Make it our business to know what's happening in one another's lives, not nosy parkers or busybodies, and you want to find out the juicy bits are where they stumbled. No, not that. You need to, yeah, that will come up, but you need to go further than that. It means loving each other in tangible ways. It means caring practically and consistently. It means interceding in prayer and doing spiritual warfare on their behalf. I know Jules has got me covered. He'll phone me or send me a message. Hey, bro, I'm praying for you. For me, it might not be, hey, that's cool. But he might have intervened in a situation where I could have had a major spiritual battle, or not a backslide, but a struggle. It means giving materially when necessary. There are those occasions. And not only material giving, but time and effort and your presence and being there for people. It means walking with someone sometimes who's fallen into sin. Not judging, gossiping, but helping them through the confession, repentance, and restoration process. So important. Many people are on their own. You know, we were recording a podcast last week, and the guilt of the podcast was about ministering to people who come from sexually broken backgrounds, where there's lots of shame and guilt. And but people just don't want to talk about it. But sometimes we need to be in their space. It means a safe place, a listener, someone who doesn't give up halfway. For me, in trauma counseling, the person just listens and you talk. I don't know if Craig experienced something. Oh, yes, you have. Yeah, Craig just, Mr. Introvert just talks and talks and talks now. It means sometimes bearing burdens by sitting in the ashes with somebody, sitting with them at their level. Not quite a Job's comforter, they sat with him, but just sit there and listening in the ashes and letting them speak. Because half of your recovery restoration, you have the answer yourself. And sometimes it means carrying them until they can walk again. It's a big responsibility you have. God's word puts heavy responsibilities on us. And sometimes we gloss right over because I don't understand bearing one another's burdens. It's confusion. It's a contradiction. I'm just going to move on to the next thing without digging deeper. So if you're taking notes, Jules, this is what it means. Be present, restore gently, pray faithfully, listen well, meet needs, stick around, and be vulnerable. We don't just say we've got someone's back, we show it through love, sacrifice, and steadfast support. So the big question then is, when don't we bear one another's burdens? Galatians 6:5 says, each one should also bear their own load. Think of Karen again. Hiking with a backpack, it contains her personal gear. It's not meant to be shared or offloaded. If she's fit and healthy, no one is expected to carry. That's the picture of her personal responsibility. We don't bear other burdens, though, when the load is caused by them creating the burden. Let's give a quick list. When they refuse to repent of clear sin and don't want to be restored. When they are lazy or irresponsible. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians, I think 3 verse 6, he says, don't help those who are lazy and refuse to take responsibility. helping some, continue to help someone financially when they refuse to budget or be good stewards of what God has given. And then you just keep on. I mean, that's not bearing a burden, that's enabling. When a person manipulates or abuses, using guilt, lies, manipulation to offload the consequences. I mean, that's a bit of a victim mentality. It's not my fault. Important one, when it becomes a substitution for the Holy Spirit, you can point someone to Jesus, but you cannot be Jesus for them. Again, it's personal responsibility. And then when God uses a burden, how many of you have been disciplined by God? In my relationship with my wife, sometimes she just prays and God whacks me between the eyes and sorts me out. Divinely allowed discipline or growth, because we shouldn't interfere with what God's doing, God's work. In someone's life, by removing the burden, it's like someone who's struggling financially and God's teaching them a lesson. They don't give themselves. And little Miss Renee merrily comes around, she's doing really well and blesses the person with X amount of money. You just cut right across what God was doing. That's why you need to be so sensitive in your response to people, how and why you should give. What is the responsibility of that person who's in the situation before you start bearing burdens? They must be committed, active, and serving within the local church, or seriously working towards it. Not participants, not spectators. God wants you involved. You're a part. Maybe the little finger, the little toe, the nose hair, or you know, the earlobe. It might seem big, but you've got a place. A quick summary on when we don't carry someone else's burdens. When it's clearly their personal responsibility, when they refuse to repent, lazy or irresponsible, manipulative, abusive, you to be their savior, or when God is disciplining them, testing for growth. We walk together, not alone, as a community of believers. As I said, some consequences are extreme, and we have eternal consequences. In conclusion, Paul makes it very clear in Galatians 6 that we are each to take personal responsibility for our load. But we are to come alongside others when the burden is too heavy to carry alone. I want you to keep that illustration of Karen. Karen, you're going to be in people's minds for years to come. When they read Galatians 6, 1 to 5, they're going to think, Karen. You're going to have to change your name or... But when you look at those two illustrations of what is your personal responsibility, Karen with her backpack. What is the personal responsibility when someone is on setup? Although Craig's a big, strong guy. I mean, for years he's been in charge of setup at different churches. And setup starts at 3, you come at 5 past, and there's nothing to do. Craig's put everything out and it's happened. He's probably dragged the table. But there are occasions when you really need that help to share that burden. And remember, Paul uses those two very distinct, different words because truths matter. You're responsible for your own spiritual growth and obedience, but you're also responsible for helping others when the weight of the burden is crushing. So here's my challenge for you. Don't be afraid to bear someone's burden. And if you are, and you're a little bit awkward, are you building bridges? Andrew, do we have a bridge built if you went through something? Craig? You know, of course my wife, we've been through a lot, or she's been through a lot, rather. But build those bridges. Connect with people on the level where if something goes wrong, you already have a foot in the door, an inroad that they've prepared to let you share their burdens. Don't be afraid to step into their mess. So often we look at, oh, man, Abu, his life is like, it's tough and he's facing challenges, but yeah, it's a bit too messy for me. It's a bit complex. I think he needs a counselor or a psychologist or an elder. Shame, poor elders. Another podcast, we realize the elders aren't there to do all the professional stuff. There's people within the body who can do it. And most of all, be willing to walk a road with them. It's not But it's possible it's not someone you'd like to walk a road with. You might not be drawn to them as a person, as a friend, but that doesn't exclude you from getting involved in other people's lives. But in the light of this, be prepared to take ownership of your personal burdens that others can't carry for you. Because as Thurston said to me, you've got to get yourself into such a position carrying your own burdens that you become functional and have the ability to help other people. I think I'm pretty far along the way helping Craig with his PTSD. Okay, the real professional does. But just being there, understanding. It was nice for me to just be able to talk to people when I was undergoing my stressful situation. And it's good to be able to do that. Look, I'm not excluding God. There's a spiritual dynamic as well, which you do it. But there are also basic human relations between each other. So, don't give up. Don't walk away. And most importantly, don't let anyone fight alone.